direction in a simple way. In a simple way. You know, the truth of the matter is that every human being, at one point or the other in his life, looks for guidance, looks for direction. In fact, let me tell you this. We are all a product of influence. You are who you are today because of the kind of influences that you received into your life. No. I am a man of myself. That statement must have been informed by what somebody told you. Before you arrive at the point where you say, I am an independent-minded person, somebody influenced you to be independent-minded. How many of you understand what I'm saying here now? So you are a product of influence. In fact, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, Jeremiah says something. Look at that. Jeremiah 10, 23. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Oh Lord, this is Jeremiah. I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. That's Jeremiah saying something. That you see, man seeks for direction. That's why from the day you were born, you were told what to do. In fact, how many of you know you did not come up with your name? Somebody told you that was your name. He said, wow, that's my name. That's my name. And after a while, you get used to the fact that that's your name. Some of us have some names we cannot explain. For a while, I thought my name was Onoyinka, and I thought that it meant you are in the middle of somewhere and there are so many roads. That's a roundabout. So I felt that our name, as family name, meant a roundabout. So I was telling everybody that, you know, it's a way of success, a way of victory has surrounded me and all sorts of things like that. Or the word in my dad told me, no, it is honor. I said, what is that one? He said, honor is someone that, like an artist who engraves things. He said, well, it's actually those who were engraving things for the gods and the idols of those days. So, he said, then one of the people in our descent must have been in the middle of them, then pronounced his name as my God. So I never knew what my name was, I think, for about 18 or 20 years of my life. But I was influenced to think that was my name. After we heard about that, and some of my cousins said they were going to change their name, they were going to break that curse and all that. I said, so, it doesn't make any difference if you change your name to Jesu Yinka and you're not saved. But if you are saved, Jesu is in you. Whatever name you bear. If you can call me, you can call me stupid, God calls me wise. And I have the opinion of God, that's what matters. And maybe really, some of you that are idol conscious, you just move from Fashola to Oluwashola. Oluwa can be anything too. Or Jesu Pelumi. It just shows you don't understand the Bible. Praise the Lord. If Jesus could bear the name of a man, and that name was exalted, hallelujah. The issue is what happened to the name you have. Paul, for instance, had a name, Saul. Paul meant little man. But by the grace of God, Paul was exalted. So you can call Paul little, but Paul was not little. Because the grace of God was in him. So whatever name you bear, it's Christ that dwells in you. Hallelujah. That's what matters. So you are a product of influence, and then you see, people have influenced you from your secondary school to your... So you look for direction, you look for instructions, you look for people to tell you things. And most of the time, you know, human counsel will fail you. Usually it will fail you. Several years ago, I went to see a man, a preacher of the gospel. He had seen me heal the sick. Or trying to heal the sick. Maybe I should put it like that because I can't remember how many people got healed that night. If anybody got healed at all. So he called me and he said, do you think you are called to preach? This was somebody I respected. So I couldn't say yes or no. I said, thou knowest. You know, when you're at the Valley of Dry Bones, you just say, you know. And then some of my friends who were spiritual giants, you know, more like the sons of Anak in Canaan, they said to me, do you think God can call you? So I was, now, spiritual giants and spiritual gianta. As gianta is higher than giant, right? Or giantest. You know, said that. And then you say, wow. But you know the funny part? Years later, I met one of them in the University of Ibadan. I went to eat at Demoris. I don't know whether Demoris still exists there now. And he said, oh no, come and tell me something. How does one, that's what the same fellow now asked me, how does one receive the call of God to ministry? How did you go about it? He had forgotten what he told me years before. The same man that also said, are you sure you're called of God? Now goes everywhere saying, my son is a preacher. Do you understand what I'm saying? So human counsel is not reliable. It will change over time. Hallelujah. It will change over time. I told you last week, or was it 2 weeks ago, that we have versions of phone. We have versions of cars. But we have versions of human beings, really. But the Word of God doesn't have a version. It's the same. Hallelujah. God's counsel remains the same. Because there are so many Christians that they have tried so many things. You see a Christian, he will do 4 degrees. One in chemistry, one in Yoruba. Then he goes to engineering. Then he hears the latest is accounting. In fact, those 4 people usually cannot even work in one company. So, after he has done accounting, he's already still doing something in accounting. Then he goes to do another professional degree in IT. Then they say there is visa lottery. He runs for that one. Somehow he wins. He gives testimony. He goes again to London. America. His cousin gave him a visa by inviting him. So he goes to London. Then he begins to wash dishes. Then somebody says, come to Kuwait. It's happening in Kuwait. It's happening there again. Then he moves. Then he goes to Kuwait. Then he starts to wash the toilet in their mosque. Then he says, really? There's just nothing wrong in this mosque. God is everywhere. So, you know, because it's like, then after a while, they say, oh, nationals of non-Kuwaiti nationals, so leave Kuwait now. So he moves again. And somebody says, it's happening in Libya. There's one farm like that. If you go to that farm, we still go there. He moves to Libya. And he's a child of God, though. But his life is in confusion. He doesn't know what to do. You see, so many of God's children have not been consistent. Why? Because they have been hearing voices in their lives. So they don't really have a course they are following in life. I believe, God, that I will teach this in a more broader way. I want to take a series with you on following God's plan for your life. How many want to hear that? Following God's plan for your life. But I just want to give you this because this has been laid on my heart since last week, and I just want to share this with us in a simple way. Amen. And, you know, and there are people like that. Even when it comes to relationships, you will find Christian men, Christian brothers, into Syria, like they are doing evangelism with women. They're just reaching out. And it's not that they are morally loose, it's just that they are confused. After a while, someone says, you know your problem? There's one mountain beside my farm. If come and see God. That's it. Oh yeah. So he takes his bag again. He heads to somewhere in the north. Where are you? You are looking for God. You are going to the north. So he goes to the north. And he says to the north, He said, you know, the Bible says, this man Zion side of the northern city. So he says, north. So he gets to the north. So he gets to that man, the place who's very spiritual. So he's moving white garments. Bless you. It is well. By his grace, glory. So, God is here. So, as in the night, is on the top of the mountain. Oh God, speak to me, speak to me. He says it for like 3.5 days. Speak to me, 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 speak to me. So when he's tired, then he hears a silent breeze. My son, my son. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My son, my son. So as he hears my son, my son, he just hears a thunder strike. Yes, Lord. So he says, my son, he hears that my son is far. My son, my son. So he opens his eyes. It was the supervisor of the mountain that is saying, my son, come into the disco. It's about to rain. So he's disappointed. Praise the Lord. How I've always wanted to hear my son, like you are Jesus. This is my beloved son. Say, yes, Lord. Where's John the Baptist? Hallelujah. Let me show you someone who was like that in the Bible. 1 Kings 19. You're someone like that in the Bible. Direction in a simple way. First Kings chapter 19. I'll tell you the story. God said to Elijah, go, in verse 11, and stand upon the mount before the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. Now, God told him, go and stand here before the Lord. So, Elijah got there, and the Bible says, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains. I mean, when you see that, oh, you say, my God. And the thing is tearing apart. Ha! I mean, say, my God. See the presence of God. And the Bible says, and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. One day I'm going to teach this verse very, very well. It said, the Lord was not in the wind. And again, the Bible says, and the wind, an earthquake, the Lord was not in the earthquake. Now, you are somewhere, this ground begins, now, God told him to go there, right? And when he got there, the mountain is torn into pieces. I said, you will have said, you are awesome in this place. And God said, as he said, you are awesome in this place. The rocks just said, he is not here. He is not here. So he said, yes, yes, I'm getting closer. Then the earthquake, I humbly bow before. Then the ground says, he is not here. That means he said, wow. He thought God would be in those mighty manifestations. And then again, the Bible says, and then there was fire. Now that one is clear, Holy Ghost fire, you know. Wow! And it was burning. He remembered Moses. So he said, he began to take off his shoe. His shoe said, the Lord is not there. And that happens to us a lot of times. We expect God to direct us in the ways we want Him to. But the Bible says, there was a still small voice. And that was God. Most of the time, when we're looking for the spectacular, we miss the supernatural. God directs us in very simple ways. There is no child of God that God does not talk to. Did you hear me? But you see, we're looking for the earthquake. We're looking for, you know, that's why a lot of people like to go to ministers. They take the phone. They say, sir, I'm about to travel. You know, so we don't do that in Saints community. Praise God. Because we make your life count. We don't count your life. We make it count. By teaching you Christ in you. Hallelujah. That's why I love this church. That's why my family comes here. That's why I'm always here every Sunday. Because we teach you that God loves you. We teach you that God wants the best for you. We teach you that Christ is in you. Hallelujah. We're not Pharisees and Sadducees. We're not teachers of the law. We teach grace. All that Christ came to do. The law says you will do this. Grace says it has been done. The law says do. Grace said done. Hallelujah. That's what we teach the body of Christ. Amen. Are you following me now? Now, you see, many times I told you the experience I had years back. I just wanted God to talk to me. So, because it was a God said to me, so I was wanting God to talk to me. So I went on a fast, a big time fast, and I was quiet. I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't watch television. I was just, God is about to talk. I'll stop at times. Is he going to say something? No. Maybe he's sleeping. So I move on. Once in a while, God didn't see anything. I thought. And I was the one saying something. Like, you know, years back, there was this brother. Every time he was going to say something in the meeting, I think some 15 years back, he'd say, I can see light. Ah. He says, light is getting bigger. So every time when he comes up to say he's seeing something, he's always seeing light. So I now interviewed him. I said, Brother AY, come. What exactly happens? He said, I said, now do something. I discovered there was something. I said, close your eyes. So he closed his eyes. He said, can you see the same light? Say, yes. I said, I can get you. Then when you close your eyes, you see light. He said, light. Oh, God is moving. Light. Because he thought that was how God spoke. How many times, you know, we miss God despising the very little things. Just like Elijah. Now, every one of God's children is entitled to God's leading and God's direction. But not every one of God's children, number one, knows how God leads. And secondly, not every one of God's children listens. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Some folks like to call their pastor. Pastor, I have four letters. Which one? Some say, Pastor, there are six guys who want to marry me. Which one should we marry? Because that's what you're asking me to do for you. Pastor. Somebody called me one day. She said, Pastor, I want to board a plane now. I don't know whether I should board it. I said, yeah, get off my phone. Want the body, but don't want the body, go and take bus. The devil is in both ways, in case they are running from him. I mean, you come to this church, we have been teaching you for 1, 2, 3 years, you are still calling pastor, should I marry Jumoke? She's out already. You say, Lord, I see a lady in the church, you describe her, it happens to be my wife, should I marry her? I said, go ahead, I'll come after you. That's God leading you in the valley of the shadow of death. This time around, you have to fear evil. So some folks just like to ask people, sir, what do I do now? What do I do? I don't know. Should I go out in the morning? No, sleep. Sir, are you sure? I'm very sure. Use blankets. So some folks, they think that's the job of a pastor, to tell you what to wear, who to marry, how to use the toilet, and which toilet to use. No. The pastor will teach you the word of God. Hallelujah. When you know the word of God, then you will lead by faith in the word of God. That's the job of a pastor. Not to bug my phone every time. Sir, I just want to ask. What time is it? Is it time to leave my phone and drop yours? Do you know people are like that? So who says, should I go out with that lady? Should I marry that lady? You're going to look for trouble because I may not like the lady. Maybe she's not fine enough for me. Maybe she's too fine for me. Maybe she's not as intelligent as I want. Maybe she's too intelligent for me. And I'll tell you, thus saith the Lord. Now that's me talking. Thou shalt not marry her. He said, thank you, Father. And I'm still the Father. Because you're stupid. The word of God is given to you so that you can have what to say and do in life. That's why we teach you. That's why in the Saints community all over the world, we teach the word. We teach the word. We teach the word. We thank God for music. Oh, thank God for those stuff. But they are secondary. They are not weighty in your Christian life. What is the most important thing in your life is for you to grow in the knowledge of God's word. So, well, I love that place. You know, I love that church. I like the decorations. Imagine if the devil comes to you, you say, see the decorations, devil. Aren't you tempted to flee? You say, well, I have it too. Oh, see, devil. So, see the equipment we're using, devil? Huh? You have good chair. The music has overcome the devil. No. You've got to know the word. Hallelujah. Some of my friends are confused today because the times we spent with the Word of God to study the Word of God and then to live and practice it, they weren't doing that. But the funny part is they now come to us to tell them what to do. There's a song by Pastor Wale, and I if you were around, you would have sung. I don't want anybody to sing that song for him. I know what to do. I know how to do. I know where to do all that I do. I'm not confused. I don't lose. It's one of the best songs to come out of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. I know what to do. I know how to do. I know where to do all that I do. Romans chapter 8. So folks cannot live without their friends. Just your friends will tell you everything. So folks, even their parents. I love parents. I love my dad. He's late now, but he was a very good person. He influenced my life. He taught me many things. But he never led me to salvation. In fact, he told me when I was entering the secondary school, he said, there are two guiding principles in life. He said, if I do it, I will make heaven. I said, what are these? He said, number one, love your neighbor as yourself. Number two, that one was two in one. Don't lie, don't steal. He said, that's all. He said, don't go and join the born again people. Don't join them all. Yes, daddy. Because he was my model. I said, yes, daddy. 1989, January 22nd. I was in church, chapel service. And somebody got up and preached Jesus. And said, he died for my sins. I said, yes. So daddy was wrong. I'm a sinner. I can't love my neighbor as myself because I'm a sinner. Nobody can do it but Jesus. So I stepped forward and I received Christ into my heart. And he became the Lord of my life, and I received the Holy Spirit, and I began to speak with tongues. And that was it. From that point, I knew daddy could be wrong. Not that daddy is always wrong, but daddy could be wrong. That only the word of God is always right. Hallelujah. Somebody following me here? When I was going to respond to the call, he said, all right, if you preach the gospel, I will disown you. He said, I will go to court and I will swear an affidavit. And I said, daddy, why? I'm starting to go. Say, with God. Say, my grandfather. Your grandfather was a prophet. He wore white. What are you saying? Say, you made this thing with me. You take you to church. What are you saying to me? What are you want to church? We said, we didn't name you ceremony for you. It was a pastor that came to name you. That is not my fault. It's God. He found me out. I'm saved. He called me to preach the gospel. It's too late. You should have stopped him. Years later, he became my friend. He was telling everybody, he said, my son is a preacher, an anointed man of God. But there was a day he called me and said, son, let me tell you something. If God has called you, face it seriously. I was wondering why he was saying that. He said, face it. He said, you know, who knows? You are still a pastor now. Who knows? One day you become a reverend. Very soon you become a bishop. Is it not a bishop that just bought plane? That's what he told me, really. So I said, okay, I get your point. So you know, that was sometime 1994, 1995. So Bishop bought plane. So I mean, be very active in it. Do it very well. So that who knows, you can buy plane for me. So daddy can be wrong. Pastor can be wrong. Are you getting my point here? You see it now. Pastor can be wrong. So that's why you must know the word and how God leads you. Your husband can be wrong. Your wife can be wrong. Your best friend, your closest friend. We are bosom friends. In fact, we came out from the womb the same day, just like it was different women. Yeah. But God's word is sure and reliable. Hallelujah. And what the word says I am. I have what the word says I have. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many, I want us to read that together. Romans 8, 14. Want to go? Are you there? Okay, stay with me. Want to go? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Read that again. Read that again. Now, I want you to read, we're going to split that verse into two. And I'm going to remove the first part. And then I'm going to join it with the last part. That's, you know, we have two commas there. And I'm going to put it like this. As many as are the sons of God are led of the Spirit of God. If you are a son of God, you are led by the Spirit of God. Say, I'm led by the Spirit of God. Are you a son of God? No, you're a son of God. John 1:12. As many as received Him, to them He gave the power to be what? Sons of God. 1 John 3:1. He says, behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I'm a son of God. Galatians 4 and 6 says, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our heart. So He says, as many as are led by the Spirit, that is, as many that are sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. I love the word led by the Spirit of God. It's a very, very compound word. It means to be, you know, when it implies two things. You know, when a plane goes off in the air, they will say it's airborne. What do you mean airborne? That is, it is borne by the air. It is carried by the winds. So when there's a distortion in the wind, the plane begins to have problems. You get my point? It is borne by the winds. B-O-R-N-E. That's the word used here, led. That is carried. That is inspired. Urged on. It also means to be born. That is where something gives birth to you. It means the same thing. As many as are sons of God, He says they are sons of God by the Spirit of God. They are born by the Spirit of God. Now look at the next verse. Verse 15. Can we read that together? Verse 15. Everybody. 1, 2, go. For you have not received the Spirit of born again. Now hold on, hold on. Now use that ye. Change it to I. As yourself. 1, 2, go. For I have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but I have received the spirit of adoption. Hereby I cry what? Verse 16. And the Spirit also bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. Don't say I'm a children of God. That would be too much for you. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God bears witness. That word bears witness is to endorse something. Hallelujah. To sign on something. Glory to God. To sign on you that you are a child of God. Now, hold on. He says we are born of the Spirit. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read to you verse 17. Hallelujah. Oh, maybe we should read it together. 1, 2, go. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. 1, 2, go. For he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Again. See, I'm one spirit with God. Can I say, I'm one spirit with God. I'm one spirit with God. So he says, he that is joined together with the Lord is one spirit. Look at verse 19. What know ye not that your body is what? So who dwells in you? Who dwells in you? Come on, somebody reply. Who dwells in you? Who dwells in you? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit dwells in me. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. 1 Corinthians 3:16. You are the temple of God. That's what it says. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. Today, now. Hallelujah. So I'm led of the Spirit. I'm endorsed by the Spirit. And the same Spirit now lives in me. Praise God. So I don't need to start looking at the mountains, whether they will crack, or the earthquake, or watch out for the fire, because the Spirit of God is in me. So direction is not outside. Direction is inside. So the direction is inside. It's not outside. You don't seem to understand that. Direction is inside. It's not outside. Follow that. Direction is inside. It's not outside. Because the Spirit of God dwells in me. Jesus in John chapter 16. Now, follow this now. John chapter 16. See the promise of Jesus that has been fulfilled. John 14 first. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father that He will give you, John 14 verse 16, that He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. That He may abide with you forever. He will abide with you for how long? You know, some folks don't believe this. Did He say He will abide with you as long as, is that what He says? Forever. You know, some folks say, if I commit a sin, the Holy Spirit left me 66 times in a week. They believe it. Because they are not taught. The Holy Spirit stays with you to help you out of sin. He doesn't run from sin. He helps you out of it. That's why he's there. He's your helper. How does a person is your helper? Imagine if you have a bodyguard. Assuming there's a bodyguard for you. And then the guy is saying, Master, anyhow. Then one day, you got to Oshodi. And there's some so small boy. Maybe the boy is already 14. Oh, that'll be MRI now. I'm just saying. Did I say something? Six. Real six, not football six. Then he says, the guy looks at you like this. And he says, six, he's small. Then you look back and your bodyguard is the first person like Usain Bolt. I said, Bros, sir, why are you here? You think it's for my office? And my bedroom and my toilet? No. It's the word of enemies. It's the word of things that will militate against me. The Holy Spirit does not desert you or depart from you when you do wrong. He stays with you. Remember David? David had just committed a sin. Right? He took Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. He had sinned against God. Here is where some believers, they would have said, oh Lord, the Holy Spirit has left me. They will have gone on 7 days fasting, dry, and they will dry out. Because God wants rivers in the desert. But they are doing dry. Holy Spirit! And you say, as they are saying, Holy Spirit, where are you? They are disobeying Him. They don't know. They think they are humble, but they are stupid. David said, Lord, create in me a new heart. Renew a right spirit within me. He had enough sense to say, cast me not away from your presence. That means he was there. He knew he was there. He said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. That means David had the understanding he still had the Holy Spirit. That was why he was always a king, even when he sinned. Hallelujah. David never lived under the law. David lived under grace. Are we saying you should commit sin? No, we can't teach that from the pulpit. That would be devilish. But we're saying the Holy Spirit is in you to help you in times of need. When you sin, you really need Him. Hallelujah. Jesus said the Holy Spirit, another comforter, He said He will abide with you forever. Look at verse 17. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees Him not, neither know Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be where? In you. The Holy Spirit is in me. He is in me forever. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. Lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. Matthew 28:20. Hebrews 13:5. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am never forsaken. I'm never forsaken. So the Holy Spirit is in us. Romans 8:9. You are not in the flesh, it says, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man hath not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. So I have the Spirit of God. That's why you are called a child of God. So follow this very well. The Holy Spirit is in you. Jesus said forever. That means he's with you on Monday. Am I right? On Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of every week, of every year, of every decade. Hallelujah. Of every century. He is in you. I believe God. When God says something, he doesn't change it. So the Holy Spirit is in me now. Hallelujah. So thank God for the Holy Ghost. Great. Now, so the point is the Holy Spirit is in you. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. Though, we can see it was God that wrought the earthquake. He wrought the fire. He wrought the mountains, but his leading was not there. I must know where God leads me. The issue many times is that we're putting our attention on the wrong spots. In the wrong places. That's the problem. Maybe one day, the government says there is scarcity of wealth. There's some things that the first time I went to South Africa, that was some 11 years ago, I was scared, seriously, because there was too much light. Whenever I'm leaving the country, whenever I'm coming back to Nigeria, and you know, I know when we're in Lagos, the first thing I know is that you just see darkness. Yeah, we're home. You just see darkness. You just leave Accra and Accra. But like when I come from the West Coast, I leave Accra and it is light when you're leaving. Like you see Lagos. You see Lagos is here now. You see some places have light. You almost hear Jane. Okay, this is for scarcity, and then the government announces that there are 6 stations in Lagos, and they describe the places where you can get fuel. Then you say, I need fuel badly. I know you need fuel in your car. Particularly if your car is one that goes, you need a lot of fuel because you know it's throwing out fuel, it needs fuel. So you now get to the station near your house, you stay there. You even get there very early, 4:30 a.m. What do you want there? Fuel! Leave me alone. You want to chance my export. Oh, I'm going to leave this place. The fuel is associated with the place. You want to use brain for me? But the fuel will not be there. Not in 6 hours, not in 10 hours. No matter how much labor you do, there will be no fuel there. The fuel is a so-and-so place. It's about 6 kilometers away from you. You better get yourself there to get fuel. See, direction is always there, but the point is, do you know where it is? You can labor and fast and pray and then go to see one prophet and go to see another bishop and go to see another pastor and go and talk to one old uncle of yours and go and talk to another. That's why some people, they go from success seminar to success seminar and success seminar. I've never been to one. Somebody had me teach on business one day, and he said, this is great. This is very great. He said, what kind of success books do you read? I said, the Bible. You know what I mean? Read books. That's the greatest real book in the world. So you mean? Because he was confused. He had told me he wanted me to mentor him in business. So I said, really? I just study my Bible. I said, if you get to my office any day, I'm reading my Bible. And I'm doing my business. Now I'm not doing a small one. I say, hey, maybe God has a special grace. Grace called disgracing. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and observe all that is written therein. Joshua 1:8. And then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. He said the word will give you good success. That's what he says. So they go from seminar to seminar. Oh, somebody's coming to Nigeria. He is the president of IBM. You go there. No one says, 6 steps. Number 1, fire your boss. Number 2, go and beg him. Number three, set up your own business. Number four, borrow money. Number five, go and see your uncle and tell him, even if you want to use me as a messenger, I'll do it. So you are confused. What's it? 149 ways to know the right woman. Number one, is she tall? Number two, is she short? There's going to be problems. I'm led by God. I'm not confused. I don't walk in darkness. I walk in the light. Let me tell you something to think. So, where is the Holy Spirit? He is in your spirit. He's not in your stomach. There's a, he's here. Where? The right side, the left side. When we turn to this, we mean our spirit. Out of our belly. John 7:38. John 4:14. In us. Hallelujah. God has given the Holy Spirit to us. He dwells in our spirit. Now, man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. Later on, I'm going to explain this to some of you. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. Let me say a few things to us here. Simple things. Don't forget it. The Holy Spirit is in your spirit. Wait. The Holy Spirit is in our spirit. When we go to school, we educate our minds. Am I right? When we do exercise, we educate our bodies. So that's why you see somebody can be very, very intelligent and we give him a punch, he dies. And somebody can be so strong, you say 1 plus 1, he says 16. You get my point? Are you getting my point? And somebody can build his muscles. He can change the color of his skin. He can even change the way he's thinking. It does not make him a Christian because in salvation, God saves your spirit. Are you following me here now? So man is a spirit. He has a soul. And he lives in a body. Now listen to these simple things and don't forget it. The voice of the spirit is the conscience. The voice of the spirit is the conscience. The voice of the soul, that is the mind, is or are your emotions. Your emotions. Your emotions. The voice of your body are your feelings. That's why when we forgive people, we don't feel like forgiving them. I don't feel like it. I don't even, my emotions, I'm angry already. You say, I feel like, I feel like I'm tearing into six. Six? Why not two? I feel like. You feel, so say, forgiveness. You say, forgiveness. But in your heart, you know you are born to forgive. Because you are a child of God. So the voice of the body is feelings. I mean, I felt very bad before. You woke up in the morning and you felt bad. Let me feel like that. You won't lie. You're in church. Just feel like, what kind of day is this? Your body is doing something. Gijim, 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 gijim. Yeah, I don't feel like going to work. You better go. That will be the end of feeling. So your feelings are not a right guide. I'll tell you why. Now, listen. The spirit functions by knowing. Of all the three components I've spoken to you, it is only the spirit that generates something. Every other part of man, quote unquote, will need to receive the process. The spirit generates. You know, that's why you have the Holy Spirit in you today. The spirit functions by knowledge. That is, you will just know. You will just know. When I got saved, for instance, my head may not have agreed. My feelings did not change. But I knew I was born again. I knew that God had become my father. I knew that now I'm a child of God. I knew. So when I was speaking with tongues, someone says, but I don't know what I'm saying. You're right, because your mind is still unrenewed. You don't know what you're saying. But I knew I was speaking by the Spirit of God. So the spirit functions by knowledge. That is, usually you will not be able to explain it in A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, the soul functions by reasoning, by logic. You will have to logically look at it. You look at it logically. Yes, I'll need 6 years of experience in this industry. I'll need to go for this training. Then I'll need to travel abroad. That is logical. You say, I'll first need to go to US when I leave US. Now, what your logic will not tell you is that there's going to be a recession in the US in the next 6 months. But you have heard the story. So somebody has told you, you say, for engineers, you will need to travel. When you travel to Germany, there's this school in Germany. When you are trained in Germany, and that, and you say, that's logical. The school is called the school of people that will be rich. So you enroll there. That's logical. You take the PhD. That's logical. But your soul will only process an information that is given to it. You read it from the internet. You heard it from a cousin. But your cousin is not all knowing, so he won't tell you, because he doesn't know, that in the next 9 months, that school will be closed down. That's why folks will join companies they never knew will close down in 3 months. But logically, they will join the company. I remember a friend of mine, he said he was going several years back. He wanted to go and deposit. It was the biggest money he had in his life. So as he was leaving, you know, he wanted to deposit. He said, well, there was a bank. That bank was had widespread. I said, I can take my money anywhere. He said, okay, great. So he said, this is very near my house. So I said, deposit at so-and-so bank. So he said, yes, I'll take it there. So, you know, I mean, logically. So I said, as he was leaving, he had this nudge in his spirit not to go there. So I was wondering why. There's no logic. This is the best bank. This is the bank. So he was arguing with himself. And arguing with himself, he entered the bank. He was still arguing with himself. He was still arguing with himself. Ah, what's the big deal? Is it not a bank that I know very well? I mean, my father kept his money there. I think my great-grandfather said he used to keep his change there. I think the great-grandfather used to put his cowries there. I think the greatest one used to put maybe wives there. And then, so he said, this is the best bank I can go. So he entered the bank and deposited. And by Monday, the bank was closed down. It was a Friday. Now, the cashier did not know the bank was going to close down. He did not know. Nobody knew. But somehow, God was telling him not to. His money has been there since it was 2001. No, I think so. Yep. No. I think 1990-something. 1996 or so. Or 97 or so. I think 1999 or 2000. Yeah, one of those 2 years. His money is still there. That was the biggest money he had received in business. He was my very good friend. Now, logically, he wanted to go. His feelings would have told him, I don't go to a bank so far. You are tired now. Why don't I just... Are you following? Let me see if you are following me very well this morning. So, the voice of the body is feelings, and it is always stimulated. It works with stimuli. Something stimulates it. You are tired. You are weak. Lost, for instance. You see a lady and you say, I love you. Actually, what do you want to say? I want to sleep with you. Because how can you love somebody at first sight when you are not on the cross? He said, I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Huh? I was watching a movie one day. I think it was a Nigerian movie. And the lady said, this is a guy, a silly guy. First date, first time, and he bought out an engagement ring. He said, you must be mad. I said, you are correct. There was a minister that said, oh, sweet. Not knowing that the next day the guy was going to jump in front of the train and die. Your logic will not tell you that. Your feelings will not tell you that. Only the spirit will tell you that. Are you following what I'm saying? Good. Only the spirit will tell you that. And so in life, we must learn to listen to our spirit primarily. Some things will not be logical, but you will know within you that God wants you to do them. They will not be logical. And this is God's simplest ways now of guiding us in the little affairs of life according to the word. Littlest things. Simple things. Are you listening to me this morning? Simple things. Simple things. Sometimes we get very emotional about our decisions. Very, very emotional. We get very, very logical about too many things. Very logical. About several things. Yet, our spirit, where the Holy Spirit is guiding us in another direction. But are we listening? I think that's the title. I think it's, are we listening? Are you listening? God's talking to you. Are you listening? Are you looking for the earthquake? Are you looking for the fire? Or are you trying to reason things out? When I was called to preach the gospel, I didn't try to reason things out. Because I was even too young to do that anyway. But I didn't try to reason things out. I've always stepped out following what God spoke to me. I've always just stepped out in faith. I've always been like Abraham. I just stepped out not knowing necessarily where I'm going to. But I know that God was leading me to do the things that I'm doing. 1998, I was in the middle and I spoke to him. I said, God's telling us to organize a conference for young ministers. And everybody bought the idea. And the conference is still on today. It's going to be starting next Sunday. Praise God. The World Changes Conference. It has changed many lives. Many of you are here today because your life was changing there. But it started by just listening. Just listening. You've got to listen. I remember a lady. She was going out with a guy to marry. So she's told me there was something strange that used to happen. The guy's nice, works with a good company. The guy treats her well, takes her out on dates. You know, ladies like things. And it's all good. You know, takes you out on dates and you say, treats you like a king. Opens the door. You know, though he's an African, but behaves like a British man or an American. Opens the door, say, you're welcome. You know, sit down there. What do you want? And the waiter tells you what you say. You're looking cute today. Oh, thank you, love. Oh, you're looking so sweet. And like, the guy was just it, you know. T.D.H. knight in the shining armor, only the fact that it's only in novels, you know. And then she believed that this was the right guy. But then in church she told me that anytime they are in service, she just has this strange feeling that something is wrong. She didn't know what it was. She said that furthermore, when she's trying to pray for this guy, the guy comes to church, he's a good guy. Anytime she wants to pray for this guy, every time she wants to say, I'm praying for my husband to be, it seems that she has a cringe inside. Not fear, not doubt, not worry, but a cringe, like an emotion that she didn't generate. So she asked me, what do I do? I'm going to tell you what to do in a moment also here. I said, right, do so, so, and so. And for a while, take a time off getting too close to this fellow. Then do not rush into any engagement plans. I remember this thing that Brother Hagin told us, Kenneth E. Hagin. How many know Kenneth E. Hagin? He is probably the most influential man in the faith I've ever met in my life. In his books. He said, it's better to be a bit slower than God than to be faster than God. When you are not sure, find out. Don't move fast. And at that point, I told the lady, don't rush. Don't let anybody rush you into any marriage plans. She said, thank you, sir. Less than 6 months, she discovered the guy was a gay. She never knew. And she ought to have been married 3 months. But she had to wait. She discovered the guy was a gay. And wasn't ready to have kids or have children or anything. Just wanted a status symbol for a wife. God loves gays. There's no difference between somebody who is a gay and somebody who is a liar. There's no difference between somebody who is a gay and somebody who backbites. Are you following what I'm saying? Jesus died for gays. What did I say? I just said, I don't preach gay-centered messages. It's all a waste of time. Jesus died for homosexuals. He died for lesbians. It's a sin, definitely, but Jesus died for you. That's so funny. But then a gay is not a husband. That's what we're saying here now. That's not a husband. So she discovered that. She was in Texas, pastor. This happened. I said, wow. That's why it's good to listen. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying this morning? It's good to listen. Let me show you a few things. Acts 20. It will not be logical. It will not be, you know, it will not be logical. But God leads us in those simple, simple ways. Acts 20. This is Paul saying, said, I'm testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Acts 20, I'm reading 21. I want you to listen very well. Acts 20, I'm reading verse 21. I want you to read with me. I want you to follow this. Paul says, and now behold, I go what? Bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. The word bound is the word to be compelled. Like something is urging you to do something. I'm going bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing. Did you observe that? Did you observe that? He said, I'm compelled to go to Jerusalem, yet I don't know what I'm going to see in Jerusalem. Yet I am compelled to go to Jerusalem in my spirit. That's the difference between the spirit and the mind. In my mind, nobody has told me anything. In my mind, they didn't send me any spies. In my mind, I didn't see any picture. In my mind, I don't know who is waiting for me. In my mind, I don't know who is going to give me that job. In my mind, I don't know what car will pick me at the airport. In my mind, I don't know eventually if the company will grow. But I know in my spirit, I should be in Jerusalem. That's it. So, not knowing the things. So, there are two kinds of knowledge there. The first knowledge is a knowledge from your spirit. The second knowledge of not knowing is a knowledge that comes to your mind. I'm not aware. That is Paul. Let me show you another impression that could come to you. That is being compelled. When that happens, you just find an urge to go ahead and do something. And your logic cannot calculate what you're about to do. Now, the second one. Acts of the Apostles. Mary chapter 14, Paul was preaching in a place. In verse 9, the Bible says, same heard Paul. There was a crippled man who heard Paul preach the gospel, who steadfastly looked at Paul. And Paul, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Perceiving. Now, do you see faith? Can you see faith? Can you say this is faith? He's sitting there. No. But he perceived inside that the man had faith to be healed. He knew inside. That word perceive means to know inside. That the man had faith to be healed. Acts 16. Show you another one. Paul had a woman who was following them. These are the servants of the Most High. These are the servants of the Most High. God will show us the way of salvation. Verse 17, Acts 16. And in verse 18, she did this many days, and verse 18, and Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. Being grieved, the word being grieved there is being annoyed. He was annoyed inside. Everybody was hearing it and they didn't see anything wrong with what the lady was saying. But Paul was annoyed inside. There are some things that will just make you uncomfortable inside. You cannot explain it logically as it were. And let me say this. Oh, get our series on concerning spirituals. The mind is a slow learner. As intelligent as we think our minds are, it's a slow learner. Everything I'm teaching you this morning, everything I've ever taught you in the Word of God, your spirit already knows them. But see how long it takes us many times to meditate on the Word of God, to read, to understand, because our minds, no matter how cultured or intelligent your mind is a slow learner. That's why Paul said, if I pray in the Spirit, my understanding is unfruitful. 1 Corinthians 14 and 14. Because the mind follows. It has to be taught. It has to be educated. It has to be renewed. Thank God I'm born of the Spirit. Thank God I have the Holy Spirit within me. Now follow this now. Look at Acts 27. Acts 27. Now, one day Paul was being taken in a ship to go to a certain place. And when they got to a point, Paul said this to them. Acts 27. Verse 9. Now, when much time was spent and men sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished, saying unto them in verse 10, sirs, I perceive. I do what? I do what? That this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, and not only of the laden and ship, but also of our lives. Paul told them he perceived that everybody was going to die. Now, let me tell you the story. The story is that everybody did not die. Because a few verses after, an angel of God, Paul said, stood by him in verse 23 and said, fear not, Paul, thou shalt be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with you. Now, between this verse and verse 9 and 10, I want you to read that when you get home, something happened. After, when they were leaving, the sailing was smooth. Where Paul said, I said, keep quiet. They looked at the master and said, what do you, how can you chat? See, the chat saying everything is fine. Forget this guy. He just wants to deceive us. He wants to run out. But the next couple of verses, there was now a strange wind that began to move the ship. Water went into the ship and it was about to be trouble. Now, apparently, that was what Paul perceived. But in his perception, he probably misinterpreted it for a loss of lives. Yet it was not a loss of lives. It was a shipwreck, but not a loss of lives. What does that mean? There are some times that we may have problems in properly interpreting these impressions in our heart. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying here. We may have problems in interpreting it, and I'm going to go into that in a moment. Now, let me tell you how God will not lead you. What these impressions will never be. What this weakness in our hearts will never be. Number one, it cannot be fearful. God does not lead you with fear. I'm afraid something bad will happen. That's not God talking to you. I'm afraid that's not God talking to you. That's the devil taking a hold of your confusion, or better still, your ignorance, to create confusion. 2 Timothy chapter 1, can you turn there with me? Hurry up, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Are you there? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Praise God. Are you there now? Verse 7. I want everybody to read together with me. 1, 2, go. Take that again. So fear does not come from God. So if you don't want to do something because you are afraid, that doesn't come from God. That didn't come from God. I'm afraid maybe this plane will crash. That's not God talking to you. The word of God says he has given his angels charge over you to guide you in all your ways. God does not give you the spirit of fear. 1 John chapter 4, 18. 1 John 4, 18. Can you read it together? 1 John 4, 18. Want to go? There is no fear in love. Take that again. Take that again. Shout it out. There is no fear in love. But what? Perfect love. Perfect love. Perfect love. Hallelujah. I receive the love of God. Fear is cast out of my life. Perfect love. The love of God cast out fear. Why? He said because fear has what? Fear has what? Torment. Fear has bondage. And God does not put people in bondage. When you are afraid, you can't do things. Some people fear God. Interestingly, they are afraid God will do something to them. That's why in this church we don't teach such things. We teach you that God loves you 100%. Hallelujah. God loves me. I'm the apple of his eye. I'm his precious possession. I'm a child of his grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I can never be condemned because I am in Christ Jesus. God is for me. Who can be against me? Hallelujah. Perfect love cast out fear. Look at the next thing. He says, he that fears is what? Is not made perfect in love. When you are afraid in life, you are afraid of God. I think God will do something for me. I think God will do something for me. Oh, God, God. I will never teach my children to be afraid. I'll teach my children to believe. Hallelujah. To believe. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Pastor Prince was saying something last week. He said his daughter said, Daddy, I lied in school. 8-year-old girl. And she was crying. Says, daughter, come. Let me tell you the first thing. God will never punish you. She said, yeah. You always told me that. Said, God does not punish people. Now, some people don't even know that. Say, you know why, daughter? He has punished Jesus. You don't strike the rock twice. You strike the rock the first time. The second time you speak to the rock. Now we receive from the rock. Hallelujah. That's why Moses struck the rock the second time. God said you will not enter into the inheritance. You can't crucify Jesus twice. Hallelujah. Say, God will not punish you because he has already punished Jesus. He has laid the whole sin. Some people don't believe that Jesus died for the sins of everybody. They don't believe it. They think minus me. All the sins of the world was placed on Jesus. Past, present, and future. You know, God doesn't live in time. So God is I am. So God took the past, the present, and the future and laid all the sins on one man in the present. Hallelujah. So his sacrifice is eternal. 1 John 2:2. He says, if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, who is the propitiation not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. Say, our sins are on Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody, you don't believe that? Our sins are on Jesus. So he told the daughter, he said, God will not punish you. That child will grow up to love God. Will grow up to know him. Not like the God that the devil painted to Job. Not like the God that the Jews knew. It's the God that Jesus Christ has shown to us. The everlasting Father. The one who sets the solitary into families. The one who takes the people who are down and sets them in the palaces. God whose mercy does not endure for a time, endures forever. That is the God I know as my Father. Hallelujah. And that is the God we're preaching here. Glory to God. Someone say, you don't preach about condemnation. You don't condemn Jesus. You don't. I said, no, I minister righteousness, not condemnation. I'm not a Pharisee. Jesus said the Pharisees had come before him. And what did he call them? Thieves and robbers. John 10:9. Said they had come before him. They were thieves and robbers. Accusing people. So that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That means he put them only one person, the devil. I am come that you may have life. Hallelujah. And have it abundantly. God is not angry with me. Do you believe that? I love to know that. I wake up at night many times and I say, I'm loved of God. God is not angry with me because God loves me just the way I am. Hallelujah. Come on now. So perfect love casts out fear. God does not lead you by doubt. James 1. God does not lead you when you have three opinions. God is saying, choose one, choose one. Is that what he's telling you? No. God is not in both. James 1. A double-minded man, verse 8, is unstable in all his ways. Verse 7, Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. God also does not lead us with worry. Matthew 6:31, take no thought, do not worry. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. So God does not lead you with fear. You know, all of us were brought up with fear. They tell a girl, Anwe Shemi, what can I know you? I said, how? She's just 9. She doesn't even have a boyfriend. She was ready to know you. So the girl is afraid. All her life. She doesn't want to know you. So when I say, hey, how are you? I said, know you. So she sees a man as low you, man. She's been brought up to think like that. So folks, I told you, you see, you think something, let me tell you something. You can't make anything good out of this life. If you don't do something, I don't pity you. You will just be a shoemaker. There's nothing wrong in being a shoemaker. You can be a shoemaker that makes shoes all over the world. I told you in the seminar, there's nothing wrong in being a messenger. What is DHL? Hallelujah. Let the seed of God arise in you and you will be a great messenger. Using airplanes to send your messages. And what the word says, I am. Greatness is in me. Hallelujah. See, some have been brought up with fear. You better be careful. I pity you. Have you seen when you're standing preaching the gospel, God said, somebody told me that you are very zealous. I mean, you want to preach the gospel. I give you a few years. Is that like 3 years? Things will come down. See, you will now get to reality. He said that a long time ago. It's about 18 years now. I'm still here. Hallelujah. Perfect love cast out fear. I refuse to be afraid. God leads me 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. God will not lead you by fear. When you have a dream that says you are, someone say, how do I know the right dream? I said, what are the dreams? I said, there was a day. I had a dream that all of a sudden I was in a coffin. I said, eh? I said, doing what? They asked in the movie. I said, seriously. It was a coffin. They said, just close it, boom. Go and ask them, what do you call it now? What's this guy that asked James Bond? I don't know the latest. Okay, there's someone called Brad Pitt. How many times he has died in a film? He's still alive. You James Bond? Or was it Rambo? Or who died? There was even Schwarzenegger died as Terminator 1. He came out of Terminator 2 again. Amen. So that's just a film. I said, what other James do you have? I said, I had one, no? That one, I was just preaching the gospel. I said, that one is God. When you have a dream that is bad, forget it. When you have the one that is good, then remember it. It's very simple. Very, very simple thing. That's what I do. I've had some dreams before. There was one dream I had that on my convocation day, I was just going to be sick and I would die. And I was laughing. I didn't go for the convocation. So the dream was wrong. Not that I didn't want to go. I didn't have time. I didn't tell anybody. I said, pray for me. Jesus, pray, request. I had a dream. What's the dream? There are two kinds of dreams. You can have a dream when you close your eyes. You can have one, you can open your eyes. So when I open your eyes and dream, I'm dreaming big. Hallelujah. That one is of God. God didn't say, Abraham, what do you close your eyes to see? He said, open your eyes, see. So open your eyes too and see. Praise God. God does not lead you by fear. Does not lead you by worry. Does not lead you by doubt. Are you following what I'm saying? Does not lead you by lottery. If I step out and my leg hits the raw, that's God. Or you live in the morning and you know someone say, when your left leg is blow, twice, blow, say, ah. Where's my anointing oil? You get the anointing as you're pouring it, it falls down. Blow! Yeah, even the Holy Ghost has fallen down. Hallelujah. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Hallelujah. 1,000 shall fall at my side, Thanks. When we're traveling, I see accidents. I tell Coley and the guys in the car, I said, prophecy fulfilled. So only with my eyes will I see. Hallelujah. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Good. So God does not lead us in those ways. Let me give you a few tips now. Can I continue? Good. Sometimes there's so much noise around you. So much opinions, and you know, you say, hey, what do I do now? Somebody say, do this, do that one, do this one. Sometimes even our parents, the father will say, if I see you, if I do this one, the mother will come and tell you, hello, Jerry, hello, let me tell you, this is what you should do. So they're not even saying the same thing as you, even though they are different. Your brother says, Egbo, for me, I think you do this one. Then again, you get to school. You can see your classmates and say, you know, they are filling some forms. Another one. So much noise. So much distraction. But the voice never changes. Hallelujah. Most of the time, we need to just be patient. You need to be what? Patient. God also has put patience in your heart. Galatians 5:22. You can be patient. I love to be patient. I want to be patient. I love to be patient. Don't be in a hurry. The Bible says the righteous man does not make haste. Don't be in a hurry. Some folks are too much in a hurry. So they begin to set their lives up. They make some plans that make it difficult for them to change direction. The question I'm asking you this morning as we close is, are you listening? Are you listening? God's always speaking to you. God's always talking to you. Now I'm going to give you two instructions. If you have found yourself unable to pick these impressions that come from your spirit. Now, this is a lesson I give to people, just like a radio station. Many times, we look at our TV. You know, sometimes my satellite station is in my house. Sometimes we don't get the signals right, and then we now call. You don't say, these DSTV people, multi-choice, they're terrible. Sometimes it's not their fault. So, ITV is terrible. What is correct TV? It's not correct TV, it's incorrect TV. Then the expert comes and says, no, sir. The problem is this. Your dish is tilted the wrong way. The wind blew last night, then it, you know, I say, sorry. So that's tilted in the right direction. What am I saying? God's always talking to you. Maybe your dish is tilted the wrong way. I'm going to give you two instructions, then I'll continue next week. Praise God. Are you getting something out of this? Two instructions. If there's a lot of noise and you don't seem to be able to pick these little simple impressions, two things. When that happens to you, it just shows one thing, and I'm going to say these two things now, that you have not yet developed your spiritual sensitivity. Let me tell you this. What you do every day is what you become. You spend your time developing your mind with certain information, that's what you will become. If you spend your life developing your body, that's what you're going to become. If you spend your time developing your spirit, you will turn out a spiritual person. You cannot plant cassava and get corn. You cannot put in a grain of rice and then get beans. If you are going to hear from God, you've got to learn to receive the word from God. So when you have confusion like that, it means that your spirit is not developed. Two things you're going to do. We'll close on that. Praise God. Number one, meditate on the word of God. What did I say? Meditate on the word. Meditation means to think upon the word. I'll tell you what meditation is like. It's not just having a memory verse. No. Or being able to remember what I'm saying. No. Now, has it been one day you wanted to make a withdrawal in the bank and it was a Friday? It was 4:05. And, you know, when you say there's no shishi, you get my point, and there's no ATM. You know, let's assume there's no ATM. There's no shishi in your pocket. You had to run into the bank. And then you now meet a friend of yours you had not seen. You had not seen him for 6 years. Just about the time you were going to the bank. You miss your friend. Your friend says, "Ah, Bobo Berkeley." You say, "How are you?" "Hold on. I've got to rush to the bank." That is, I've got to put the bank what? First place. That's meditation. There are so many thoughts come into your mind, but you allow the word of God to have first place. That is priority. Meditation is priority thinking. I will think of this first. I will think of this above all. You must put the word of God. Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and observe to do all that is written. Then you will make your way prosperous and have good success." Psalm 1:1, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor stands in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law does he meditate." How often? Then he says, "He will be like a tree planted by the streams of water. His leaves shall not wither. He shall bring forth fruit in his season. Whatsoever he does shall prosper." 1 Timothy 4:15. "Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly unto them. Then your profiting will appear." What profiting there is? Progress. I'm going to explain that next week. "Will appear unto all." So there's progress when we meditate on the word of God. Romans 12:2. "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Meditation means to ponder over something. Let me tell you what meditation is like. Meditation is the same way you worry many times and you say, "I can't get that job. My God, in spite of the fact that I went for the interview, you said I can't get that job because of this." Or the doctor tells you, "You know, this pain, I don't know. You have to keep it, you know, till you are 90 or whatever. It may become a cancerous thing. You may, I don't know." And you think about, you mean this pain can kill me? You mean, and that's meditation, really, but negative. Rather, what should you do? Turn to the word. "By stripes I'm healed. The power of God has got into my body." You begin to mutter it to yourself. You begin to ponder over it. And mutter it to yourself. What are you doing? You are meditating. You are putting the word first place. Number two, and I'll close. How else can we develop the human spirit? By speaking in other tongues. By what? Speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, and we'll close. Stand to your feet, everybody. Stand to your feet, we'll read this. 1 Corinthians 14, everybody come on. 1 Corinthians 14. "He that speaks in tongues," in verse 2, "speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries." I want you to read verse 4, everybody. 1, 2, go. Again. Say it again. The word edify means to make progress. When I speak in tongues, I make progress. That was why Paul could say in verse 18, "I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all." That means speaking with tongues was something Paul did a lot. Hence, how much direction he received from God. Jude 20. The Bible says, "Beloved, build yourself on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Build yourself on the most holy faith. The word there is to grow, to develop. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Two things: meditation and praying in tongues will develop
the human